I love you.
Welcome back to the couch, potatoes. Plenty of room. Big old couch here. Sit on down. I am the Green Traveler from Gorsh.
And I am the Faceless Leon. This is Green and Faceless on the Couch, a podcast about movies and TV. And we're back it at the Disney playlist. It seems like we try to force as many episodes in between these as possible.
I know. It really is that way.
But I think, honestly, we were just so heartbreakingly disappointed by Dinosaur that I don't know if disappointed is the right term.
This is the time of our lives. I'll never experience a moment as beautiful as that movie ever again.
Yeah. No, probably not. Not at that same standard of beauty, at least.
Hey, and you know what? Disney spent so much money on that beautiful piece of crap that they had to go back to the basics, kind of. They had to go back to...
Yeah, you know, well, standard this animation movie was as opposed to also at the same time in production. But back to a traditional animation look. I'm sure they at this point are using some sort of software to help.
Yeah. It's vamped animation, but it's back to like we're drawing these things as opposed to having a computerized version make up a shitty looking fucking dinosaur that looks ugly as sin.
Everyone loves an iguanodon.
Everybody loves an iguanodon, but it's just like
end up still complaining about dinosaur. I know it was me. I know it was me.
Yeah, you brought it up. But I was gonna completely forget about that movie.
I'm sorry. We got to talk about this movie. This is why we're here. We're here to talk about Disney's very influential movie called Kingdom of the Sun.
There you go.
So originally that's what they wanted to call this movie, but it ended up being called The Emperor's New Groove. It is about an emperor named Cusco, who's an asshole. Rather, he's just very selfish and self-centered and thinks the world revolves around him. And, you know, it kind of does because he's the emperor.
And they don't understand astrology.
No. Well, he does understand that he wants the right kind of lighting.
That's right.
His summer home, Cuscotopia, which he's making for his 18th birthday.
Yeah, it's like a crazy theme park for him and him alone.
And him alone, yes. And
water theme park.
He wants to put it on this hill, but there is, you know, a slight issue to go over. So he invites the leader Pacha of the village that is on the hill over to ask which side gets the best light. And, you know, after that, he reveals to Pacha that, I'm going to destroy right where your house is and basically all your neighbors' houses so that I can have this Cuscotopia. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Just for me and me alone.
Meanwhile, his advisor, who is elderly and has thirst for power. Hey, that's how she's described. But Eartha Kitt plays them wonderfully. But by the way, Cusco is played by David Spade. And Pacha is played by John Goodman. So Yzma, though, really wants to take over power. And she comes up with a plan to do so after Cusco fires her. And so she plans to, with the help of Kronk, played by Patrick Warburton, poison him at a dinner party. And it's funny because Kronk is more worried about the dinner party than the assassination. Yeah. I love Kronk.
He's got his priorities. He's a good cook. He knows exactly what to do in the kitchen. He's damn well going to run that thing. It's fucking fabulous.
Yes.
No, Kronk is literally the best part of this entire thing, in my opinion.
Yes. And you know what? Honestly, Kronk's New Groove is one of the few Disney sequels that I think might be better than the original.
I might have to watch that and find out. So here's the thing with this movie. I would have told you before we rewatched it here that I maybe watched it once or twice as a kid.
Right, right.
And I haven't seen it since. And I would have told you, I'm like, yeah, it's fine, but it's not my era of Disney, you know, so it's whatever. Upon rewatching it, I knew almost every line,
yeah,
and it scared me. And it was one of those, like, it was like a awakening moment where I was just like, oh my God, this is another movie my brother and I watched nonstop. And I just realized that now.
Well, I didn't forget. And my brother and I watched it a lot. It was one of my brother's favorites. He had a really big obsession with David Spade for some reason. And I think it started with
Chris Farley.
Tommy Boy. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Tommy Boy and Black Sheep, because those are two of my stepdad's favorite movies that he shared with us.
Same with my parents.
And, you know, they're fun movies. I like Chris Farley. Yeah. And I think that David Spade's comedy is interesting. And I think just like earlier today, I figured out what it was for my brother, is that they both reserve a similar amount of hate for the world. And
that's very fair.
And it definitely comes through in David's comedy.
Yeah. That's my thing about both like David Spade and what's the you can do it guy and Adam Sandler. Rob Schneider. Like, yeah. I think they're hilarious individuals, and I'm like, I don't know them as people, but you know, it maybe I would enjoy them in person. But their comedy is just like so self like detrimental and yet gloaty at the same time that it's just weird for me.
Yeah,
like I don't hate it. I don't hate their comedy, but it definitely just it's such a weird thing because it's so like
David is the best at it.
Rob, he really is.
I'm sorry, I don't necessarily get your comedy too much, but I've heard that you and you know this might not be up to date for people out there on the internet, but I've heard you're a really nice guy. So that's
maybe that's nice. I'm not making any statement there. Who knows the skeletons in those closets?
Yeah, nobody knows. But
that's the Adam Sandler club. There's like that, there's like skeletons buried beneath that baby.
Who knows what went down in Hawaii? Who knows?
Oh my goodness.
Okay, David knows. So particularly, we watched Joe Dirt and Dickie Roberts, former child star. Over and over again. We watched Benchwarmers a lot too, but
that's fair.
Holy crap, we watched David Spade movies a lot. Benchwarmer, that one actually stars Rob Schneider, and it kind of has this nice, sweet message about not bullying, and if you are a bully, how to be, you know, a better person. So,
because Rob Schneider told me to be.
Because Rob Schneider, Rob Schneider told me to be. Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider is a binge warmer. Yeah, I don't know if I've, to get all the way back to what started this train rail here, I don't know if I've seen Kronk's New Groove.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I would absolutely love that movie. I mean, I just like Patrick Warburton in general. Yeah. I think he is a hilarious voice actor. They do a beautiful job here with their casting of having Eartha Kitt versus David Spade and Patrick Warburton versus John Goodman and in regards to voices. Uh-huh. Sure. And it's just like it's really perfect, honestly, because like Pacha and Kronk aren't the opposite. They're not foils for each other. Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
Because they're both like at their heart they're both peaceful individuals. Right. It's just Kronk is just doing what.
Well,
is he? He's in love with Yzma, right? Like it's not just like a henchman.
Well, there
thing,
is
right?
this scene. There is this scene where, when he leaves the table to go get something from the kitchen, and Cusco's like, "Well, he's nice. He's
exactly.
He's like he's a bit younger than the last one, right?" And she's like, "Oh, I don't know how old he is."
There's a lot of implication that he is just her younger paramour. Yeah.
The comical chemistry is there. 100%. It's there. The jokes land. You laugh at the jokes.
Oh, yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
But upon
and it's
reflection...
Fun, like,
it is a lot of
fun. Yeah. And the action is fun, at least. Yes. Like, I love... there's a moment where Pacha and Cusco are attached to a log on accident, you know, through hilarious animated physics, got themselves tied up to this log, and it broke and fell into the water, and now they're about to go over a waterfall. That whole action scene is so much fun.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's really well done. But as you were going to say, sorry, I interrupted you there.
Well, I don't remember exactly what I was talking about. But
upon reflection.
Oh, okay. Well, I have seen this movie a lot. And I look at it now and, like, yeah, I still laugh at some of the jokes, but some of it is like, some of it, like, doesn't necessarily match. You know, they got this bit, like, they're supposed to be Incan. They have, you know, all this cool architectural stuff and everything, and idols and whatnot, probably. I don't know. But then Yzma has this super secret lab with all this, like, technical gizmos and stuff. And, you know, it's juxtaposed, and it's kind of funny because of that. But when you reflect on it, it's just kind of convenient, really, that she has all this stuff. And, and in fact, she has, like, a cabinet that's just full of potions that will turn you into anything, which is funny.
Yeah.
And is what happens in the story is that she Kronk accidentally gives her llama poison, which turns him into a llama, and he was supposed to kill him. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's funny. She had a whole bunch of vials and he grabbed the wrong one. But why does she have a whole bunch of vials that just doesn't make any sense in this world?
Yeah. You're not supposed to look into it too much.
I know, but it's just, that's the whole movie, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I look back at it and there's just a heck of a lot of convenience and meta humor, which is funny, but it kind of, upon many, many watches, comes off as lazy writing to me.
That's fair.
And being rushed. And it turns out that they were being rushed. So, you know, they were doing the classic Disney Renaissance thing, like really diving deep into the aesthetic, anyways, of these cultures, because as you can see, I don't think there was a single South American person casted in the film. I'm not entirely sure. So. But anyhow, I would like to see this movie called The Kingdom of the Sun that is, you know, kind of what they did with Aladdin in Arabia and even more Hercules in Greece. Yeah, more fleshed out.
Yeah.
Knowing that this project was going in that direction, I'm a little disappointed.
They definitely went more for comedy as opposed to story. And I think for what they did, they accomplished it really well. Because it's like,
it's really funny.
I mean, the kids love this shit. Like, this thing is perfect for children. Like, obviously, we liked it a lot when we were kids.
I even enjoyed watching it this time around.
I was actually, like, working on a crossword. Like, you know, normally I'll be doing something else while the TV's playing. Yeah. And I couldn't even focus on my crossword, you know, because I kept, like, glancing over. And then I would just, like, watch the movie like I'm actually supposed to be doing for, like, 15 to 20 minutes. And I'd be like, oh, shit, I haven't done this on the computer at all. But, like, I really do think that they, if they had just, like, fleshed out one thing in particular, Yzma. So, like, I'm sure there had to be some kind of, I don't want to say witch, but, like, a witchy kind of character in Incan culture. Mm-hmm. Like, a medicine woman or something that, like, that seems racist, and I'm so sorry. But, like, I'm sure there had to be, like, that kind of a staple in their culture. For, like, a mad woman or a mad scientist, you know, that kind of a figure. Yes. So it's like, if they had, you know, if they had decided to flesh it out more, they could have gone that route. She could still be...
make it more obvious that that's what she's doing and make it more tied into the culture so it seems part of the world.
And, like, one thing, too, that when I was watching it this time around, she's not really a villain. I mean, she is...
She's a usurper, she's going to poison a guy.
To be fair.
But
to be fair, look how he's running this.
Yeah, this exactly. Whole area. Yeah.
He is a bad leader, and she is the one who's actually in charge of everything.
Right.
And then he fires her from that. And so her thought process is, oh my god, we're all fucked because there's nobody to replace me and he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Now,
if they made it through that lens, then I honestly think it would have been a much better movie. Like, oh my god, this fuck up is now on the loose that I tried to kill and he's gonna fuck up my usurpation. That would have been
okay. She was not intending. She wasn't like quite intending to usurp him before he fired her.
Before she was just doing his job. Before the firing. But she was sitting in his throne, and like they made it obvious, I think, in the film that she wanted this his job, and that she was just being satisfied with being the puppet king, or the puppeteer, I guess.
But no, I feel like they really could have fleshed that out, because it's just like, I mean, even as we said, Kronk's not really a villain either. Like, he does some villainous things, but only because, you know, his possible love interest is telling him to do it. He doesn't Kronk know better. He's just following orders. Kronk
is definitely not a villain. He is a henchman.
I don't know about that. I think he's more than a henchman. And no judgment, you know. I mean, little judgment, but no judgment.
Yeah. Well,
what should we
talk about of this film?
Oh my god, we haven't even talked about it that long at all.
No, not really. We've been
talking about it for ages. Well, the thing is, I when it comes to the voice acting, as we've mentioned, I think David Spade and John Goodman, like, it's so hard to think, because so many people do voice acting different ways. Mm. Sometimes, most often, you're not in the same room together.
Sure.
Most often, you're doing, you know, you just read through the lines and you're in one tiny little room by yourself recording everything. And it's like, it's got to be so freaking hard, because you don't usually have that other person to bounce off of.
Right.
You do table reads and everything, and you sit down and rehearse and everything. But, you know, you're not face-to-face having this kind of a conversation. David Spade and John Goodman's chemistry is fucking on point.
Yeah,
so it's just like, however they filmed this, however they got into character, like, they bounce off of each other so damn well. Yeah. Same thing with Eartha Kitt and Patrick Warburton. Like, right.
And all four of them. It's great. Well, at least the top three in that list at this point had been doing TV and film for quite some time. Like, Patrick had been in some things, but I think they pulled him to this straight from Seinfeld, but it took a few years.
I didn't even know he was in Seinfeld. That's how much I don't watch Seinfeld.
He was the
mechanic,
I think. I think he was Jerry's mechanic.
I can't stand it.
Can't stand
my parents love that show, and they watched it a lot, and I just could not stand it. Yep. And I've had to tell many people that the reason is because, one, there's no point to the show. Yep. That's the point of the show, is that there's no point. And that, two, they're all assholes, and I'm supposed to be okay with that because they're just assholes. That's
Hey, the last episode, like, no. They kind of go to prison, so...
And they do go to prison. They don't kind of go to prison. And that's the only comeuppance they get. They deserve to be in prison. Because they're all fucking assholes. Like, I don't know. It's watching a show where it's just like everybody just has this doom and gloom attitude to life. And I'm just like, I don't want to be that.
Right.
And so I don't want to fill myself with that kind of entertainment. You know, I want to fill myself with something that's a little more hopeful than this.
Yeah. Well, I would say that George is really the only doom and gloom one, but they're all from New York, so yeah, they all got that vibe.
They all bitch about everything. For me, if you're bitching about everything, you're doom and gloom. Like, find some, says the critic who complains about movies. I know, I see the hypocrisy in myself, but it's fine. But here we are.
So, secret review of Seinfeld, a classical television show. Yeah, sorry, Patrick. Anyhow, closing statements on this. Let's do this.
I enjoy it. I really do like it a lot. I think it's very fun. The comedy, the action, the animation, the music, it's all very vibrant. And I mean, it gets a little bit of a bump because it's coming right after Fantasia 2000 and Dinosaur. So yeah, it's just like,
exactly, you know, I was gonna say,
like, you watch those two shitty films back to back like we did, and then you watch Emperor's New Groove,
and you're like, oh, finally.
All of a sudden, I'm paying attention again. Yeah. God, I'm like, this is Disney, damn it. Good God. This is good stuff. Home on the Range is around the corner. Oh my God. Oh, boy. Okay. But no, I like this one. I think it's very fun. I love the acting. I love everything about it. I think it's got a good message of, you know, taking yourself out of the equation at times. I think that's very important to just kind of, you know, stop being so damn self-centered. Stop being so, you know, my way or the highway, like Cusco was. Be a llama sometimes. Learn Pacha, to
the best man.
Yeah, well, exactly. Be Kronk.
Be Kronk, the best, the cook, kindest man.
Yeah. Be everything Pacha is with Kronk's abilities in the kitchen.
Yes. Yes. And yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because they're both pretty kind. Yeah. Yeah. I'm good.
Four with stars.
Four stars. Oh, out of five. Well, still
out of five,
that's still pretty good. It gets a full face for me. I still enjoy watching it, you know, but I do feel like some of that is nostalgia, and maybe I'm only so critical of it because I know it so well, but I do see some flaws there. This is, you can still feel that this is not a Renaissance movie. But the thing is, like you said, out of three from this era that we have, it's very clearly in the lead. It's enjoyable. You'll have fun with it. The jokes, the comedy is great. But this one is more focused on the comedy than it is the plot than previous Disney films have been.
And you know, for the kids, it's kind of what you want. Let's be honest.
No. Because I knew that Aladdin was a better movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
That is a funny movie, though. It does have a lot of comedy in it.
We're also pitting Robin Williams against David Spade. There's just no contest.
Yeah, this is very true.
Yeah. That's pretty harsh.
Not, well, David understands.
Oh, yeah. I thought for a second there, my brain went to David and Goliath when you said that. And I was just like, not even. Like, David Spade is no, all right, David.
All right, I think we did a show.
Something along those lines. I don't know what it was. We're tired, people. We just got off work. What do you want from us?
Yeah.
I am. I'm sorry. I'm far away from the mic. Uh-oh, I dropped something. I am the Green Traveler from Gorsh Professional.
Yes, and I am an associate professional. The Faceless Leone. Safe travels and good night.